This is Audible.
Macmillan Audio presents Infinity, Chronicles of Nick by Sherilyn Kenyon. Read for you by Holter Graham. Prologue. Free will. Some have called it the greatest gift bestowed on humanity. It is our ability to control what happens to us, and exactly how it happens. We are the masters of our fate, and no one can foist their will on us unless we allow it. Others say free will is a crap myth. We have a preordained destiny, and no matter what we do or how hard we fight it, life will happen to us exactly as it's meant to happen. We are only pawns to a higher power that our meager human brains can't even begin to understand or comprehend. My best bud, Acheron, once explained it to me like this. Destiny is a freight train rolling along on a set course that only the conductor knows. When we get to the railroad crossing in our car, we can choose to stop and wait for the train to pass us by, or try to pull out in front of it and beat that bad boy across. That choice is our free will. If we choose to rush ahead, the car we're in might stall on the tracks. We can then choose to try and start the car, or wait for the train to plow into us. Or we can get out to run, and fight the destiny of the train slamming into us and killing us where we stand. If we choose to run, our foot could get caught in the tracks, or we could slip and fall. We could even say to ourselves, there's no way I'm dumb enough to fight the train, and hang back to safely wait. Then, the next thing we know, a truck rams us from behind, throwing us straight into the train's path. If it is our destiny to be hit by the train, we will be hit by the train. The only thing we can change is how the train turns us into hamburger. I, personally, don't believe in this crap. I say I control my destiny and my life. No, nothing controls me. Ever. I am what I have become because of the interference and secrets of one creature. Had things been done differently, my life would have been a whole other enchilada. I would not be where I am today, and I would have had a life worth living, instead of the nightmare my life has become. But no, as I was keeping his deepest secrets, my best friend betrayed me and turned me into the darkness I'm learning to embrace. Our fates and destinies were mashed together by a freak event that happened when I was a kid. And I curse the day I ever called Acheron Parthenopaeus my friend. I am Nick Gaucher, and this is my life, and how things should have been. Chapter 1. I am a socially awkward man-dork. Nicholas Ambrosius Gaucher, you watch your language. Nick sighed at his mother's sharp tone as he stood in their tiny kitchen, looking down at the bright orange Hawaiian shirt. The color and style were bad enough. The fact it was covered in L-A-R-G-E pink, gray and white trout, or were they salmon, was even worse. Mom, I can't wear this to school. It's... He paused to think real hard of a word that wouldn't get him grounded for life. Hideous. If anyone sees me in this, I'll be an outcast relegated to the loser corner of the cafeteria. As always, she scoffed at his protest. Oh, shush. There's nothing wrong with that shirt. Wanda told me at the Goodwill store that it came in from one of those big mansions down in the Garden District. That shirt belonged to the son of a fine, upstanding man, and since that's what I'm raising you to be... Nick ground his teeth. I'd rather be a delinquent no one picks on. She let out a deep sound of aggravation as she paused while flipping bacon. No one's gonna pick on you, Nicky. The school has a strict no-bullying policy. Yeah, right. That wasn't worth the contract paper it was written on, especially since the bullies were illiterate idiots who couldn't read it anyway. Geez, why wouldn't she listen to him? It wasn't like he wasn't the one going into the lion's den every day and having to traverse the brutality of high school landmines. Honestly, he was sick of it, and there was nothing he could do. He was a massive loser dork, and no one at school ever let him forget that. Not the teachers, the principal, and especially not the other students. Why can't I flash forward and bypass this whole high school nightmare? Because his mom wouldn't let him. Only hoodlums dropped out of school, and she didn't work as hard as she did to raise up another piece of worthless scum. It was a harped-on litany permanently carved into his brain. It ranked right up there with, "Be a good boy, Nicky. Graduate. Go to college. Get a good job. Marry a good girl. Have lots of grandbabies. And never miss a holy day of obligation at church." His mom had already road-mapped his entire future with no diversions or pit stops allowed. But at the end of the day, he loved his mom and appreciated everything she did for him. Except for this whole, "Do what I say, Nicky. I'm not listening to you because I know better" thing she said all the time. He wasn't stupid, and he wasn't a troublemaker. She had no idea what he went through at school, and every time he tried to explain it, she refused to listen. It was so frustrating. "Gah, can I catch swine flu or something?" Just for the next 4 years, until he was able to graduate and move on to a life that didn't include constant humiliation. After all, the swine flu had killed millions of people in 1918, and several more during outbreaks in the 70s and 80s. Was it too much to ask that another mutant strain of it incapacitate him for a few years? Maybe a good bout of parvo? "You're not a dog, Nick." True, no dog would be caught dead wearing this shirt. Whizzing on it would be another matter. Sighing in useless angst, he looked down at the crap shirt he wanted desperately to burn. Okay, fine. He'd do what he always did whenever his mom made him look like a flaming moron. He'd own it. "I don't want to own this. I look like epically stupid." "Man up, Nick. You can take it. You've taken a lot worse." "Yeah, all right. Fine. Let them laugh." He couldn't stop that anyway. If it wasn't the shirt, they'd humiliate him over something else. His shoes, his haircut. And if all else failed, they'd insult his name. Didn't matter what he said or did. Those who mocked would mock anything. Because some people were just wired wrong. And they couldn't live unless they were making other people suffer. His Aunt Manyara always said no one could make him feel inferior unless he allowed them to. Problem was, he allowed it a lot more than he wanted to. His mom set a chipped blue plate on the side of the rusted-out stove. "Sit down, baby, and eat something. I was reading in a magazine that someone left at the club that kids score much higher on tests and do a lot better in school whenever they have breakfast." She smiled and held the package of bacon up for him to see. "And look, it's not expired this time." He laughed at something that really wasn't funny. One of the guys who came into his mom's club was a local grocer who would give them meat sometimes when it expired, since all the guy did was throw it out anyway. "As long as we eat it quick, it won't make us sick." Another litany he hated. Picking up the crispy bacon, he glanced around the tiny condo they called home. It was one of four that had been carved out of an old rundown house, made up of three small rooms, the kitchen living room, his mother's bedroom, and the bathroom. It wasn't much, but it was theirs, and his mom was proud of it, so he tried to be proud too. Most days. He winced as he looked at his corner, where his mom had strung up dark blue blankets to make a room for him on his last birthday. His clothes were kept in an old laundry basket on the floor, set next to his mattress, that was covered with Star Wars sheets he'd had since he was 9, another present his mom had picked up at a yard sale. "One day, Mom, I'm gonna buy us a really nice house with really nice stuff in it." She smiled, but her eyes said she didn't believe a word he spoke. "I know you will, baby. Now eat up and get to school. I don't want you dropping out like me." She paused as a hurt look flitted across her face. "You can see exactly what that gets you." Guilt cut through him. He was the reason his mom had dropped out of school. As soon as her parents had learned she was pregnant, they'd offered her one choice. Give up the baby, or give up her nice home in Kenner, her education, and her family. For reasons he still didn't understand, she'd chosen him. It was something Nick never let himself forget. But one day he was going to get all that back for her. She deserved it. and for her, he'd wear this god-awful shirt, even if it got him killed. And he'd smile through the pain of it until Stone and his crew kicked his teeth in. Trying not to think about the butt-whipping to come, Nick ate his bacon in silence. Maybe Stone wouldn't be in school today. He could get malaria or the plague or rabies or something. Yeah, may the smarmy freak get a pox on his privates. That thought actually made him smile as he shoved the grainy, powdered eggs in his mouth and swallowed them. He forced himself not to shiver at the taste, but it was all they could afford. He glanced at the clock on the wall and jerked. Gotta go, I'm gonna be late. She grabbed him for a bear hug. Nick grimaced. Stop sexually harassing me, Mom. I gotta go before I get another tardy. She popped him on the butt cheek before she released him. Sexually harassing you? Boy, you have no idea. She ruffled his hair as he bent over to pick up his backpack. Nick put both arms through the straps and hit the door running. He launched himself from the dilapidated porch and sprinted down the street, past broken-down cars and garbage cans, to where the streetcar stopped. Please don't be gone. Otherwise, he'd be doomed to another, Nick, what are we gonna do with you, you white trash, dirt, lecture from Mr. Peters? The old man hated his guts. And the fact that Nick was a scholarship kid at his snotty, overprivileged school seriously ticked Peters off. He'd like nothing better than to kick him out so that Nick wouldn't corrupt the kids from the good families. Nick's lip curled as he tried not to think about the way those decent people looked at him like he was nothing. More than half their dads were regulars at the club where his mom worked, yet they were called decent, while he and his mom were considered trash. The hypocrisy of that didn't sit well with him. But it was what it was. He couldn't change anyone's mind but his own. Nick put his head down and ran full speed as he saw the streetcar stopped at his station. Oh, man. He picked up speed, and he broke out into a dead run. He hit the platform and leaped for the streetcar. He'd caught it just in time. Panting and sweating from the humid autumn New Orleans air, he shrugged his backpack off as he greeted the driver. Morning, Mr. Clemens. The elderly African-American man smiled at him. He was one of Nick's favorite drivers. Morning, Mr. Goche. He always mispronounced Nick's last name. He said it Goche instead of the correct Goche. The difference being Goche traditionally had an H in it after the T. And as Nick's mom so often said, they were too poor for any more letters. Not to mention, one of his mom's relatives, Fernando Upton Goche, had founded the small town in Mississippi that shared his name, and both were pronounced Goche. Your mom made you late again. You know it. Nick dug his money out of his pocket and quickly paid before taking a seat. Winded and sweating, he leaned back and let out a deep breath, grateful he'd made it in time. Unfortunately, he was still sweating when he reached school. The beauty of living in a city where even in October it could hit 90 by 8 a.m. Man, he was getting tired of this late heat wave they'd been suffering. Suck it up, Nick. You're not late today. It's all good. Yeah, let the mocking commence. He smoothed his hair down, wiped the sweat off his brow, and draped his backpack over his left shoulder. Holding his head high in spite of the snickers and comments about his shirt and sweaty condition, he walked across the yard and through the doors like he owned them. It was the best he could do. Ew, gross. He's dripping wet. Is he too poor to own a towel? Don't poor people ever bathe? Looks like he went fishing in the Pontchartrain and came up with that hideous shirt instead of a real fish. That's because he couldn't miss it. I'll bet it even glows in the dark. I bet there's a naked hobo somewhere wanting to know who stole his clothes while he was sleeping on a bench. God, how long has he owned those shoes anyway? I think my dad wore a pair like that in the 80s. Nick turned a deaf ear to them and focused on the fact that they really were stupid. None of them would be here if their parents weren't loaded. He was the scholarship kid. They probably couldn't have even spelled their names right on the exam he'd aced to get in. That was what mattered most. He'd much rather have brains than money. Though, right now, a rocket launcher might be nice, too. He just couldn't say that out loud without the faculty calling the cops on his having inappropriate thoughts. His bravado lasted until he reached his locker, where Stone and crew were loitering. Great. Just great. Couldn't they pick someone else to stalk? Stone Blakemore was the kind of creep who gave jocks a bad name. They weren't all like that, and he knew it. Nick had several friends who were on the football team, starters no less, not seat warmers like Stone. Still, when you thought of an arrogant jock rock, Stone was aptly named. It was definitely a self-fulfilling moniker his parents had labeled him with. Guess his mom had known while he was in the womb that she was going to birth a flaming moron. Stone snorted as Nick stopped beside his group to open his locker.
Hey, Gaucher, I saw your mom naked last night, shaking her butt in my dad's face so that he'd put a dollar in her G-string. You got a good feel of her, too. Said she's got a nice set of...
Before he could think better of it, Nick swiped him upside the head with his backpack as hard as he could. And then, it was on like Donkey Kong. Fight! Someone shouted, while Nick wrapped Stone in a headlock and pounded him. A crowd gathered round, chanting, fight, fight, fight. Somehow Stone escaped his hold and hit him so hard in the sternum it took the breath from him. Dang, he was a lot stronger than he looked. He hit like a jackhammer. Furious, Nick started for him, only to find one of the teachers suddenly between them. Ms. Pantal. The sight of her petite form calmed him instantly. He wasn't about to hit an innocent person, especially not a woman. She narrowed her eyes at him and pointed down the hall. To the office, Gaucher. Now. Cursing under his breath, Nick picked his backpack up from the tiled beige floor and glared at Stone, who, at least, had a busted lip. So much for not getting into trouble. But what was he supposed to do? Let the weasel scum insult his mom? Disgusted, he entered the office and sat in the corner chair outside the principal's door. Why wasn't there an undo button for life?
Excuse me?
Nick looked up at the softest, sweetest voice he'd ever heard. His stomach hit the ground. Dressed all in pink, she was gorgeous, with silky brown hair and green eyes that practically glowed. Oh, my God. Nick wanted to speak, but all he could do was try not to drool on her. She held her hand out to him.
I'm Nakota Kennedy, but most people call me Cody. I'm new to the school and kind of nervous. They told me to wait here. Then there was a fight, and they haven't come back, and I'm sorry, I babble when I'm nervous.
Nick Gaucher. He cringed as he realized how stupid he sounded and how behind he was on her conversation. She laughed like an angel, a beautiful, perfect... I am so in love with you. Get a grip, Nick, get a grip.
So, have you been going here long?
Cody asked.
Work, tongue, work.
He finally choked an answer out.
3 years. You like it?
Nick's gaze went to Stone and the others heading into the office.
Not today, I don't.
She opened her mouth to speak, but Stone and crew surrounded her.
Hey, baby.
Stone flashed her a cheesy grin. You new meat? Cody grimaced and sidestepped them.
Get away from me, you animals. You smell.
She raked a repugnant stare over Stone's body and curled her lip.
And aren't you a little old for your mom to be picking out your clothes for you? Really? Shopping at the children's place at your age? I'm sure there's some third grader dying to know who bought the last navy Izor shirt.
Nick bit back a laugh. Yeah, he really, really liked her. She went to stand by Nick and put her back against the wall so that she could keep an eye on Stone.
Sorry, we got interrupted.
Stone made a sound like he was about to vomit.
Why are you talking to the king loser dork? You want to talk about ugly? Look at what he's wearing.
Nick cringed as Cody examined the sleeve of his shirt.
I like a man who takes fashion chances. It's the mark of someone who lives by his own code. A rebel.
She cast a biting glare at Stone.
A real lone wolf is a lot sexier than a pack animal who follows orders and can't have an opinion unless someone else gives it to him.
Ooh,
Stone's friend said as she got the better of him.
Shut up, Stone shoved at them. No one asked for your opinions.
Nakoda?
The secretary called. We need to finish with your schedule.
Cody gave Nick a last smile.
I'm in 9th grade.
Me too.
Her smile widened.
I hope we have some classes together.
Nice meeting you, Nick.
She made sure to step on Stone's foot as she walked past him. Stone yelped and mumbled an insult for her under his breath. Then he and his three friends sat down in the chairs that were opposite Nick's.
Ms. Pantal walked past them to go talk to Mr. Peters.
They're gonna cream me over this.
As soon as she was gone, Stone tossed a wadded up piece of paper at him.
Where did you get that shirt, Gaucher? Goodwill, or did you find it in a dumpster? Nah, I bet you rolled a hobo for it. I know you people couldn't afford even something that tacky.
Nick refused to rise to the bait this time. Besides, he could handle insults directed at him. It was the ones against his mother that elevated him to fighting mad. And this was why most private schools had uniforms. But Stone didn't want to wear one, and since his father all but owned the school, Nick got to be mocked for the clothes his mom thought were respectable.
Why don't you ever listen to me, Mom? Just once.
What, no smart comeback?
Nick flipped him off. At the same exact moment, Peters came out and saw him.
Lady Luck is definitely on vacation today.
Gaucher, Peters growled. Get in here. Now.
With a heavy sigh, Nick got up and went inside the office he knew as well as his own home. Peters stayed outside, no doubt talking to Stone while he was forced to wait. He took the chair to the right and sat there, staring at the pictures of Peters' wife and kids. They had a nice house with a yard, and in one photo, his daughters played with a white puppy.
Nick stared at them. What would it be like to live that way? He'd always wanted a dog, but since they could barely afford to feed themselves, a pooch was out of the question.
Not to mention their landlord would die if they had one in their rented condo, even though there wasn't much more damage a dog could do to the rundown shack. After a few minutes, Peters came in and went to his desk. Without a word, he picked up the phone.
Nick panicked. What are you doing?
I'm calling your mother.
Terror ripped through him. Please, Mr. Peters, don't do that. She had to work a double shift last night, and tonight, too. She's only going to get about 4 hours of sleep today, and I don't want to worry her about nothing.
Not to mention she'd cream his butt royally for this. He dialed the number anyway. Nick ground his teeth as anger and fear whipped through his entire being.
Miss Gaucher?
Could there be any more loathing in his tone? And did he always have to stress the fact that his mom had never married? That always embarrassed her to death.
I wanted to let you know that Nick is being suspended from school for the rest of the week.
His stomach hit the floor. His mom was going to kill him when he got home. Why couldn't Peters just shoot him and put him out of his misery? Peters glared mercilessly at him.
No, he was fighting again. And I'm sick of his thinking he can come in here and attack decent people anytime he feels like it for no apparent reason. He has to learn to control his temper. Honestly, I'm tempted to call the police. In my opinion, he should be sent to public school where they can handle troubled kids like him. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. He doesn't belong here.
Nick died a little with every word. Kids like him.
He zoned out so that he wouldn't have to hear the rest of Peter's tirade about how worthless he was. He already knew the truth in his heart. The last thing he needed was someone else voicing it. After a few minutes, Peters hung up the phone.
Nick gave him a sullen stare.
I didn't start it.
Peters curled his lip.
That's not what the others say. Who am I supposed to believe, Gaucher? A hoodlum like you, or 4 honor students?
He was supposed to believe the one telling the truth, which happened to be the hoodlum.
He insulted my mother. That's no excuse for violence.
That went down his spine like a shredder. The sanctimonious pig. Nick couldn't let that go unanswered.
Really?
Well, you know, Mr. Peters, I saw your mom naked last night, and for an old broad, she has really nice...
How dare you
he shouted, coming to his feet to grab Nick up by his shirt. You foul mouth, little.
I thought you said insulting your mom was no excuse for violence.
Peters trembled as rage mottled his skin. His grip tightened, and a vein throbbed in his temple. My mother isn't a Bourbon Street stripper. She's a good, God-fearing woman. He shoved Nick away from him. Get your things and get out.
God-fearing, huh? Strange how Nick and his mom went to Mass every Sunday, and at least twice during the week, and the only time he ever saw Peters or his mom there was on holidays.
Yeah, hypocrite to the core. He despised people like Peters. Nick scooped his backpack up from the floor and left. There was a security guard waiting outside the office to escort him to his locker, just like a criminal. Might as well get used to it. Some things ran in the blood. At least he's not handcuffing me. Yet. Hanging his head low, he tried not to look at anyone as the other students sniggered and whispered about him. That's what happens when you come from trash.
I hope they don't let him back in.
Serves him right.
Nick ground his teeth in anger as he neared his locker and reached for the combination lock. Brynna Adams was pulling her books out two doors down. Tall, with dark brown hair, she was very pretty, and one of the few people who hung with Stone and crew that Nick could stand. She paused to look at them with a frown that only deepened when she saw the guard with him.
What's up, Nick?
Got suspended. He paused before he swallowed his pride. Again.
Could I ask a favor?
She didn't hesitate.
Sure. Could you get my assignment so that I don't fall behind?
Absolutely. You want me to email them to you?
And I stupidly thought I couldn't feel any worse.
Don't have a computer at home.
Her cheeks darkened.
Sorry, where do you need me to take them?
Nick was grateful she was decent, unlike the rest of the jerks she ran with.
I'll come by your house after school and get it.
She wrote down her address while he pulled all of his books out.
I'll be home about 4.
Thanks, Brynna. I really appreciate it. He tucked the paper in his back pocket, then allowed the security guard to escort him off campus. Heartsick over having to face his mother, he made his way back home to their side of the ghetto and dreaded every step that took him closer to his door. Inside their crappy house, his mother was waiting on him with a stern frown on her face. Dressed in a threadbare pink robe, she looked about as tired and ticked off as he'd ever seen her. He dropped his backpack to the floor.
You should be asleep, Mom.
Her eyes cut him to the quick and made him feel even lower than Peter's had.
How can I sleep when my boy's been thrown out of school for fighting? You of all people know how hard it is for me to keep you there, how much money it takes, what I have to do to pay for your books and lunches. Why would you be so stupid as to throw this chance away? What were you thinking?
Nick didn't say anything, because the truth would kill her, and he didn't want her to feel as bad as he did when there was nothing she could do about it. I'm the man of the family. It was his job to protect her. It was only new.
Take care of your mom, boy, or you'll answer to me. You lip off to her and I'll cut out your tongue. You make her cry and I'll kill you myself.
His father was pretty worthless, but the one thing about him was that he made good on his threats. All of them. And since he'd already killed 12 people, Nick figured he wouldn't think twice about killing him either, since his father had no great love of him. So he kept his anger locked in and refused to say anything to hurt her feelings. Unfortunately, his mother gave him no reprieve.
Don't you get sullen on me, boy. I'm sick of that look on your face. Tell me why you attacked that kid now.
Nick clenched his teeth tight.
Answer me, Nick, or so help me, I'll spank you even at your age.
He had to stop himself from rolling his eyes at her ludicrous threat. Even at 14, he was more than a head taller than his tiny mother, and he had a good 40 pounds on her.
He made fun of me.
And for that, you jeopardize your entire future. What were you thinking? He laughed at you. So what? Believe me, that's not the worst thing that will ever happen to you. You have to grow up, Nicky, and stop acting like a baby. Just because someone mocks you is no reason to fight now, is it?
No.
He swallowed attacks against him all the time. What he wouldn't suffer were attacks against his mom, and he shouldn't have to.
I'm sorry. She held her hand up. Don't even go there. You're not sorry. I can see it in your eyes.
I am so disappointed in you.
I thought I taught you better, but apparently you're determined to grow up into a no-account criminal just like your daddy, in spite of everything I do to keep you straight. Now go to your room until I calm down. You can stay there for the rest of the day.
I'm supposed to work this afternoon. Ms. Liza needs me to help move her stock around in the storeroom.
She growled.
Fine. You can go, but then it's straight home, you hear me? I don't want you wasting time with any of those hoodlums you call friends.
Yes, ma'am.
Nick headed to his room and pulled the blankets closed.
Sick and tired of it all, he sat down on the old lumpy mattress and leaned his head back against the wall, where he saw the pieces of the ceiling that were discolored and peeling up. And then he heard it. The sound of his mother's tears coming through the wall of her bedroom. God, how he hated that sound.
I'm sorry, Mom,
he whispered, wishing he'd strangled Stone where the creep stood. One day, he was gonna get out of this hellhole, even if he had to kill someone to do it. It was 9 o'clock when Nick left Liza's store. He'd already picked up his assignments from Brenna at her huge mansion of a house on his way into work. Then he'd put in 5 hours so that he could save money for his college fund. Of course, at the rate it was accumulating, he'd be 50 before he could go. But something was better than nothing. Liza locked the door to her shop while he stood behind her to shield her from anyone who might be watching them.
Good night, Nicky. Thanks for all your help.
Night, Liza.
He waited until she was safely in her car and on her way home before he headed down Royal Street toward the square. The closest streetcar stop was over behind Jackson Brewery, but as he neared the square, he wanted to see his mom and apologize for getting suspended.
She told you to go straight home.
Yeah, but he'd made her cry, and he hated whenever he did that. Besides, the condo was really lonely when he was there alone at night. They didn't have TV or anything else to do. And he'd already read Hammers, Slammers until he could quote it. Maybe if he apologized, she'd let him hang out at the club for the night. So instead of turning right, he made a left and headed for her club on Bourbon Street. The faint sounds of jazz and Zydeco music coming out of stores and restaurants soothed him. Closing his eyes as he walked, he inhaled the sweet smell of cinnamon and gumbo as he passed the Café Pontalba. His stomach rumbled. Since he hadn't been at school, his lunch had consisted of more powdered eggs and bacon, and he had yet to eat dinner, which would be those nasty eggs again. Not wanting to think about that, he walked down the narrow alley to the back door of the club and knocked. John Chartier, one of the huge, burly bouncers who watched out for the dancers, opened it with a fierce frown. Until he saw Nick. A wide smile spread over his face.
Hey, buddy, you here to see your mom?
Yeah, is she on stage yet?
Nah, she still got a few minutes.
He stood back so that Nick could walk down the dark back hallway to the green room. He paused at the door to the room where the dancers dressed and rested between performances, and knocked.
Tiffany answered. Absolutely stunning. She was tall and blonde and barely dressed in a G-string and lacy top. Even though he'd been raised around women dressed like that and was used to it, his face flamed bright red as he kept his gaze on the floor. It was like seeing his sister naked.
Tiffany laughed, cupping his chin in her hand.
Cerise, it's your Nicky.
She squeezed his chin affectionately.
You're so sweet the way you won't look at us. I knew it was you when you knocked. No one else is so nice. All I can say is, your mama's raising you right.
Nick mumbled a thank you as he stepped past her and made his way to his mom's dressing station. He kept his gaze down until he was sure his mom was covered by her pink bathrobe. But when he caught her furious glare in the chipped mirror where she was putting on her makeup, his stomach hit the floor. There was no forgiveness in that face tonight.
I thought I told you to go straight home. I wanted to say I was sorry again.
She put down her mascara wand.
No, you didn't. You wanted to try and make me tell you that you didn't have to stay on restriction. I won't have it, Nicholas Ambrosius Gaucher. And your paltry apology doesn't change the fact that you knew better. You have to learn to think before you act. That temper of yours is going to get you into serious trouble one day, just like it did your father. Now go home and contemplate what you did and how wrong it was.
But, Mom, don't but Mom me, go!
Charisse, her handler shouted, letting her know it was time to go on stage. She stood up.
I mean it, Nick. Go home.
Nick turned around and left the club, feeling even worse than he had when he left Liza's.
Why wouldn't his mom believe in him? Why couldn't she see that he wasn't trying to play her?
Whatever. He was tired of trying to convince the world, and especially his mother, that he wasn't worthless. On the street, he headed down Bourbon toward Canal, where he could pick up a closer streetcar. He hated when his mom treated him like a criminal. He was not his father. He would never be like that man.
Fine. I'll never protect your honor again. Let them insult and mock you. See if I care. Why should he bother when doing the right thing made her so mad at him?
Angry, hurt, and disgusted, he heard someone call his name. Pausing, he saw Tyree, Alan, and Mike across the street, hanging outside a tourist bead and mask store. They waved him over. Nick crossed the street to tap his fist against theirs.
What's up?
Tyree leaned his head back in silent salute to him.
Hanging? What you doing?
Heading home.
Tyree slapped at the collar of Nick's orange shirt.
Boy, what you got on? That shit's hideous.
Nick slapped his hand away. Clothes? What's that crap you got on, and what truck did it fall off of? Tyree snorted and preened.
These my Romeo threads. They make all the ladies call me tasty.
Nick scoffed. Tasty crazy. That ain't no Romeo duds. Those fashions by Geek Street. They all laughed. Mike sobered.
Look, we got a thing tonight, and we could use a fourth. You want in? It should be worth a couple $100 to you.
Nick's eyes widened at the sum. That was a lot of money. Tyree, Mike, and Alan were hustlers. Though his mom would have a stroke if she ever found out, he'd been known to help them a time or two when they'd scammed locals and tourists.
Pool, poker, or craps?
Alan and Tyree exchanged an amused look.
This is more of a job of watchdog, at least for you. We got the big boss from Storyville who's paying us to shake down some deadbeats. It'll only take a couple of minutes.
Nick screwed up his face.
I don't know about that.
Tyree tisked.
Come on, Nick. We don't have much time before we have to be there. We really need someone to wash the street. 5 minutes and you'll make more money than working a month for that old lady.
Nick looked back toward his mom's club. Normally, he'd have told them to forget it, but right now,
if everyone's gonna call me a worthless delinquent, I might as well be one.
'Cause living right sure wasn't paying off for him.
You sure it's 5 minutes?
Tyree nodded.
Absolutely, in and out and we're done.
Then he could be home, and his mom wouldn't be the wiser. For once, he enjoyed the thought of sticking it to her, even though she would never know about it.
All right, I'm in. Good man.
Nick looked at Alan, who was 19.
Can you guys give me a ride home after?
For you, boy? Anything.
Nodding, Nick followed them over to a seedy part of North Rampart. Tyree put him on the street, blocking an alley.
You stay right here and watch for the 5-0. Let us know if you see anyone.
Nick inclined his head to him. They vanished into the shadows while he stood there waiting. After a few minutes, an old couple walked past him on the sidewalk. By their dress and manners, he could tell they were tourists, just taking a late stroll off the beaten path.
Hi there,
the woman said to him, smiling.
Hi,
Nick returned the expression. But his smile died an instant later when Alan leapt out of the shadows to grab the woman while Tyree knocked the man into a wall. Nick was stunned.
What are you doing?
Shut up,
Alan snarled, pulling out a gun. All right, Grandpa, give us your money or the old hoe gets it right between her eyes. Nick felt the color drain from his face. This couldn't be happening. They were mugging two tourists? And I'm helping? For a full minute, he couldn't breathe as he watched the woman cry and the man beg them not to hurt her. Before he even realized what he was doing, he grabbed Alan's hand that held the gun and knocked it away. Run! He shouted at the older couple. They did. Tyree started after them, but Nick tackled him to the ground. Alan caught him by the collar of his shirt and jerked him back. Man, what are you doing? Nick shoved him. I can't let you mug someone. That wasn't the deal. You stupid! Alan hit him in the face with the gun. Pain exploded in Nick's skull as he tasted blood. You're gonna pay for that, Gaucher. The three of them descended on him so fast and furious that he couldn't even see to fight back. One minute, he was standing, and the next, he was on the ground, with his arms wrapped around his head to protect it from the gun Alan was beating him with. They stomped and beat on him until he lost all feeling in his legs and one arm. Alan stepped back and angled the gun on him. Say your prayers, Gaucher. You're about to become a statistic. Chapter 2. Nick wanted to lash out so badly he could taste it. I won't die like this. Not beaten in a gutter by people who are supposed to be my friends, guys I've known and played with my whole life. I won't. Yet here he lay. Helpless. Weak. Defeated. Not only were his taste buds drenched with blood, he felt like he was suffocating on it. His mind ached to fight until they were begging him for mercy. It wanted him to get up and make them eat their teeth. But his body refused to cooperate. Nothing was listening to him. Heck, he couldn't even keep them from hitting him. Unable to do anything at all, he glared his hatred at Alan and hoped that the look alone would haunt the rat for the rest of eternity. Alan laughed as he squeezed the trigger. Holding his breath, Nick waited for the sound that would end his life. Out of the darkness, a blur rushed in at the same instant Alan fired the gun. One moment, Tyree, Ellen, and Mike were laughing at his pain while they insulted him. In the next, they were flying through the air and hitting the ground near him hard enough to break bones. Nick froze as he tried to figure out where he'd been shot, but his body hurt so much that he couldn't tell. Maybe it missed me. As he lay there, he caught a flash of blonde hair and black clothes as someone attacked his ex-friends. Alan cried out, and the gun landed on the street beside him. The blonde man tisked. Shame you're too young to kill. But in 2 years, I catch you doing this crap again, you won't live long enough to rethink it. With one hand, he threw Alan into the street like a rag doll. In a swirl of black and a flash of silver, the man turned to face Nick. He didn't know why, but the guy reminded him more of a rich stockbroker than someone able to take down street-hardened gangbangers the way he had. And he wasn't all that old either. Maybe his late 20s? Maybe. Nick could barely draw his breath as the man came forward with the walk of a vicious predator. He was dressed all in black, an expensive leather coat draped around a body that was lethal. But it was the flash of silver on a pair of black boots that caught his attention. One of them had a knife protruding from the toe, a knife that retracted as he came closer. The man knelt down, his brow furrowed into a deep frown.
They made a mess of you, kid. Can you stand?
Nick slapped at his hand as he reached out to touch him. He didn't need help from anyone, especially not a stranger. He tried to push himself to his feet. Then everything went black. Kirian Hunter barely caught the skinny kid dressed in a foully orange Hawaiian shirt before he hit the street. That hideous thing had saved his life. So bright it practically glowed, it had called out to him as he'd been walking by and had alerted him to the fight. From what he'd seen, the kid was a tough little scrapper. He'd give him that. And the boy could take a vicious beating without begging for mercy. There weren't many adults who could have gone through what he had without crying. That alone made him respect the kid. He glared at the other punks, who were running down the street as fast as they could. The ancient warrior and predator inside him wanted to hunt them down and kill them for what they'd done. But the man in him knew this one, the one who'd put his life on the line to save the elderly couple, wouldn't live if he did. The cowards could unfortunately wait for another butt-whipping. He tilted the kid's face so that he could see his features. The short brown hair was saturated with blood, and a huge cut would most likely leave a scar right above his left eyebrow. His nose was broken, and by the looks of it, his jaw might be too. If not broken, they'd pounded it real good. Blood poured from his shoulder, where he'd been shot. Poor kid. Picking him up, Kirian carried him to his car so that he could get him to the hospital before he bled out and died. Kirian paced the waiting room, where several dozen other people sat in various states of agitation and illness. It had been almost 2 hours since he'd handed the teenager over to the staff, and still no word about the kid he'd found. Was he even still alive? Checking his watch, he growled. He really didn't have time to stay here, waiting. He had important duties to attend to, and with luck, more lives to save before dawn.
What are you doing here, General?
He froze at the deep, thickly accented voice. Since Acheron was an 11,000-year-old omnipotent immortal, he was the last person Kirian had expected to find in a hospital. Not like the man could ever break a bone or get sick. He turned around slowly to find Acheron just inside the doorway. At 6'8", with dark green hair and dressed in black goth gear, complete with a spiked leather motorcycle jacket, he was an impressive sight that made everyone who saw him swallow in fear. But it wasn't just his height that gave people pause. It was the lethal aura of, "I'll kick your butt so hard your ancestors' ears will ring." Anyone who came near him could feel the unearthly power that bled from the pores of this particular being.
"What are you doing here?"
Kirian asked. His eyes completely shielded by a pair of opaque predator sunglasses, even though it was almost midnight, Acheron cut loose with a lopsided grin that antagonized him.
"I'd ask you first."
If it had been anyone other than Acheron making that smart-aleck comment, Kirian would give him a higher dose of attitude. But attitude didn't work on Acheron. It just pissed him off, which was never a good thing.
"I found a kid getting a major ass-whipping on the street. I don't know who he is, but I don't want to leave him here without an adult to watch over him. He was pretty badly mangled in the fight, and not old enough to be left alone."
Acheron tilted his head, as if he was listening to voices only he could hear. Kirian hated whenever he did that. It creeped him out to think what all whispered to the ancient being. Most of all, it creeped him out to think what all the men knew about him that Kirian had never told him.
"Name's Gaucher. Nick Gaucher. Is a 14-year-old student at St. Richard's High School on Chartres, who lives in the lower ninth on Claiborne Ave."
Kirian was impressed. "You know him?" There was no hint of emotion from Acheron.
"Never seen him before."
"Yet you know his name." That cocky grin returned to irritate Kirian.
"I know lots of things, General."
Acheron held his hand up, and a piece of paper appeared out of nowhere between his fingers. He held it out to him.
"His mother's an exotic dancer named Charisse Gaucher. You can reach her here, but be warned. She has a sharp tongue where her son's concerned, and if she thinks you've hurt him or caused him to be hurt, she's going for blood."
Kirian took the paper from his hand. "I'd ask you about those Jedi mind tricks of yours, but I know you won't answer." Acheron tucked his hands into the pockets of his scuffed jacket that had two chains wrapped around the shoulder of it.
"No comment, but I will say this."
He paused before he spoke again.
"Nick isn't Jason. It's a different time and place, General. Don't let the past ruin your future."
"Meaning what, oh great Yoda?" Acheron didn't elaborate,
You take care of the kid. I'll take care of your patrol tonight. I could use the target practice.
Thanks for understanding. After all, Acheron was his boss, and could have easily reamed him for not doing his duties. Acheron inclined his head before he made his way out of the room and through the double doors that led to the parking lot. And with him went that powerful charge in the air. Yeah, Acheron was one scary SOB. But Kyrian wasn't exactly comforting himself. Acheron had trained him, and he'd been a master pupil, especially when it came to killing things that shouldn't be living in the first place. Glancing at the number in his hand, he pulled his phone out and called Nick's mother. Nick groaned as he blinked open his eye. Oh, God, what happened? His head was throbbing, and one eye had something over it that prevented him from opening it. Please don't tell me I've put out an eye. His mom would flip sideways. It was her biggest fear. Don't play with that. Fill in the blank. Nick, you could lose an eye. It was her favorite rant, no matter what object he touched, and she'd kill him if he was now a Cyclops. God, I'll never get a girlfriend now. Women don't date freaks. Careful, kid. Nick paused as he realized he was in a hospital room. He tried to sit up, but someone stopped him. His panic increased as he recognized the blonde man from the fight. Where am I? Hospital. Really? No kidding. And here I thought I was at McDonald's. Nick glared at the stupid answer. I can't be here. We can't afford it. The man ignored his rampant sarcasm, keeping his features completely impassive.
Don't worry about the price. It's on me.
Yeah, right. We don't take charity. Nick winced as pain tore through his skull, and he realized his arm was in a sling. Don't you dare break a bone, Nicky. I can't afford no doctor bill like that. Whatever you do, don't get hurt. Nick felt ill over everything that had happened. My mom's gonna kill me.
I doubt it.
If the stranger only knew. Yeah, well, I don't. I happen to have known the woman since the day I was born, and she's gonna beat me until I bleed. He looked up at the stranger who'd saved his life. He was huge, probably around 6'4", with short blonde hair. He was dressed all in black, high-end black. Nice pants, Ferragamo boots, and unless Nick missed his guess, the button-down shirt was silk with leather cuffs and collar. Not that fake stuff they sold at the dollar store where he and his mother bought clothes. As for the coat, the leather was so soft, it didn't even make that crackling leather sound. This guy was definitely loaded. Why can't I move my arm? Nick was starting to panic.
You were shot.
Where?
Your shoulder.
Before Nick could say another word, he heard his mother's distressed cry. From the side where his vision was blocked, she appeared and wrapped her arms around him. Oh my God, baby, are you all right? She bawled as she saw the bandage on his head and over his eye. What did they do to you? Why weren't you at home like I told you? Damn it, Nicky, why don't you ever listen to me just once in your life?
It wasn't his fault.
His mother released him. Instantly, she turned toward the stranger who was still in the far corner of the room. Who are you and why are you here? He held out his hand to her.
Kyrian Hunter, I'm the one who called you.
She took his hand. There was a stark contrast between her tan, second-hand, frayed wool coat, cheap white vinyl boots, and the red sequin polyester skirt Nick knew belonged to one of her dancing outfits. His tiny mom was a beautiful woman, but the heavy, overdone stage makeup made her look a lot older than her 28 years, and he hated when she teased her blonde hair out for shows. It made her look cheap, and his mother was anything but. Thank you for that, Mr. Hunter. Where did you find him again? Nick panicked. If Kyrian told her where he was when he'd been shot, she'd shoot him again, just for good measure.
He was in the quarter, trying to protect an old couple from being mugged. They got away, and the scum who'd held him up was beating on him when I saw them and stopped it.
Tears glistened in her eyes. You saved my baby? Kyrian nodded. She sobbed even harder. Nick felt like total crap. It was a good thing his dad wasn't there. He'd cut his throat for upsetting her like this.
Don't cry, Mom. I'm so sorry I got shot. I should have done what you said and gone home. I'm just so sorry.
She wiped at her cheeks where her makeup was now streaked by the tears. You didn't do nothing wrong, baby. You're a hero. A wonderful hero. And I couldn't be prouder of you.
Nick winced at the lie. He wasn't a hero. I'm a hoodlum. Just like my worthless father.
He met Kirian's gaze, and something in his eyes made him think that Kirian might actually know the truth. If he did, he didn't bust him for it, which only made Nick feel all the worse. His mother drew a ragged breath.
The doctor told me you'd have to stay here for a few days, maybe a week or more. I don't know how we're going to afford.
Don't worry about it. I'm taking care of the bill.
She narrowed her eyes at Kirian.
I can't let you do that.
It's all right. Least I can do for him. There aren't many kids his age who'd take a bullet to keep a stranger safe.
Still, she looked doubtful. Kirian offered her a kind, tight-lipped smile.
I have the money, Mrs. Gaucher.
Well, unlike Peters, he didn't sneer her name. He actually said it like he respected her.
And no one to spend it on. Trust me, you're not taking a dime from me or my family that'll be missed.
She bit her lip. That's mighty kind of you, especially after everything you've already done getting him here and all. She took Nick's uninjured hand into hers and squeezed it.
I can't thank you enough for saving my baby, Mr. Hunter. Nicky's all I got in this world. I'd die if anything ever happened to him.
Something dark flitted through Kirian's eyes that reminded Nick of a ghost tormenting him. Some past pain that his mother's words conjured up. Kirian pulled out his wallet and opened it.
This is my number.
He gave his mother a small business card.
If you need anything at all, don't hesitate to call me. Anytime, day or night. I don't sleep much, so don't worry about disturbing me.
She tried to give it back, but Kirian wouldn't allow it.
Look, he said firmly, I know you don't know me or trust me at all. I don't blame you. But there are people in the world who can give without asking for anything back. I'm one of them.
She shook her head. And I know how much stuff like this costs. I can't take that kind of money from you or anyone else, ever. Kirian's dark brown gaze went to Nick.
Then let him work it off.
Nick sputtered indignantly.
Excuse me?
They ignored him.
Don't be ridiculous, his mom said. It'd take him forever to earn his kind of money back.
Yeah. Last thing Nick wanted was to be indentured over a doctor bill. Kirian returned his wallet to his pocket.
Then what do you want to do? Have the hospital turn him out into the street before he's fully healed? Wounds like that, he could get gangrene and lose a limb, or die.
Hopeless despair glistened in her blue eyes, and the sight kicked Nick straight in the gut.
Mrs. Gaucher.
A tick worked in Kirian's jaw.
I know you can't tell it by looking at me, but I've had a hard life. I've lost everyone who was ever important to me, and I know what it's like to be kicked hard when you're down. You got a great kid there. He deserves a chance. Let him work for me part-time, after school, for a year, and we'll call it even.
She glanced at Nick, who wasn't so sold on this idea.
Doing what?
Washing my car. Running errands.
His mom scowled.
What kind of errands?
Yeah, Nick interjected.
I ain't no babysitter or dog walker.
Kirian rolled his eyes.
I don't have kids or a dog.
He returned his gaze to Nick's mom.
He'd pick up groceries, some dry cleaning. He can work with my groundskeeper trimming edges or help my housekeeper clean the outside windows. Nothing dangerous or illegal.
That didn't sound too bad, but Nick already had a job that he liked most days.
What about Ms. Liza, Mom? Who will help her in her store?
Kirian frowned at them.
Liza Dunnigan?
You know her?
Another tight-lipped grin broke over his face.
Yeah.
We go way back. And I think she'd understand if you worked for me for a while.
His mom's hand tightened on his. I don't know. What do you think, Nikki?
Nick looked at the sling on his arm. There really was no way they could afford this bill. If Kirian would pay and his mom wouldn't have to suffer,
as long as he's not a pervert and Liza doesn't mind, I can work for him, I guess.
Kirian laughed.
I'm not a pervert.
You better not be, because I'll quit if you are.
Kirian shook his head.
So, it's settled.
Indecision played in his mom's gaze before she nodded.
Thank you.
No problem. Now, if you two don't mind, I have an appointment I need to keep.
Nick frowned.
This late?
His mom asked suspiciously.
Kirian nodded.
I do a lot of international business that requires me to work late at night. As I said, I don't sleep much.
And with that, he was gone.
Now that they were alone, his mom gave him her full attention. What do you really think? I think I'm really glad I'm not dead, and you're not killing me over getting shot, being in the hospital, running up bills we can't afford.
Her lips trembled.
Baby, how could I be mad at you for something like this? I just wish I made enough money that you didn't have to work, too. If you'd been at home, don't, Mom, please.
The guilt of it was killing him. She lifted his hand to her lips and kissed his bruised knuckles.
All right, sweetie. You just rest. Don't you worry or think about nothing except getting better.
She pulled one of her black hairbands from her pocket and slicked her hair back into a sedate ponytail. Nick smiled, knowing she did that for him, so he wouldn't be embarrassed by her over-teased hair. Then she went to the sink to wash off her makeup and pull off the fake glitter eyelashes. She was so much prettier without all that goop on her face that he didn't understand why they made her wear it. Once she looked like his mom again, she slid into the bed beside him and held him close. Normally, he'd be pushing her away because it felt like she was stifling him. But tonight, while he ached and hurt, he was glad to have her hold him close. It had always been just the two of them in this world. Team Fabulous. That's what she'd called them as far back as he could remember. Together, they could make it through anything. She brushed his hair back from his temple and gave him a light kiss there.
You are my little man, Nikki Boo. And I'm so grateful I have you. You're the only thing I've ever done right in my entire life. And if anything ever happened to you, they'd have to dig two graves, because I couldn't live a single day without my baby beside me.
Her words almost succeeded in making his eyes tear up, but he was too tough for that. Nothing could make him cry. Nothing.
I love you, Mom. I love you too, baby. Now go to sleep. You need to get better so I can beat your butt for getting hurt.
Smiling at her empty threat, Nick closed his eyes, but he couldn't sleep. His mind kept replaying the look on Alan's face as he'd pulled the trigger. The creep had tried to kill him. And if it was the last thing he did, he was going to get even. As his dad would say, our blood don't run. Sometimes we want to, sometimes we ought to, but we don't ever run from anyone or anything. Next time he met up with Alan's crew, they were going to feel the full wrath of Nick Gaucher. Chapter 3. Nick learned a new lesson in misery as he lay in bed, alone in the hospital for days on end, bored out of his mind. His mom stayed with him as much as she could, as did Manyara, but they couldn't be there constantly. Kirian would stop in and visit at night, and some of the dancers from his mom's club in the daytime. Still, he spent most of the time by himself. Scariest part? School was starting to look good. He shivered in revulsion of that awful thought.
Hi, Nick, wasn't it?
He opened his eye to find Nakota, of all people, standing in the doorway, with her hair pulled back into a thick ponytail and dressed in a volunteer's uniform.
She came deeper into the room. Heat stung his cheeks as she looked at his ragged state of ick. Nick cleared his throat.
Yeah, it's me, but I like to think I looked better when we met, because right now I'm pretty much hogging all the ugly.
She laughed.
No offense, but yeah, you did look a bit better. But I have to say, you really rock the crazy headgear you have going right now. Not an easy thing to do to make that look good.
She winked at him. He could only imagine how foul he appeared. His head was still wrapped up, his eyes bruised and swollen. One shoulder was in a sling to keep it still, and the other arm attached to monitors and an IV. He had a faded-out hospital gown that was freckled with the oh-so-manly-looking flower things all over it. God, at this point, he'd rather be back in his orange Hawaiian shirt. All he needed to look like a bigger goober was to drool on himself, which he might do if she kept talking to him. She stopped next to his bed and glanced over all the monitors that beeped and hummed.
So what happened to you?
I got shot. Her brows arched high.
In the eye? Is that why it's covered?
No, I got hit there with a board, a fist, a foot, and probably a few other things. There's a bunch of stitches above my eye. Doc says the bandage for that can come off tomorrow. I'm sure I'll look even better then.
His voice was thick with sarcasm.
I was clipped in the shoulder.
Oh, she said, calming down as she scowled at his sling. Did it hurt?
He wanted to say no duh, but his common sense caught his tongue before he insulted her. Even though it hurt, he straightened up into his tough posture.
Nah, I took it like a man.
She shook her head at him and didn't comment on his bravado.
So why did you get shot? One of your witticisms go awry?
Nick wasn't sure how to answer that.
He didn't want to take credit for something he hadn't really done, like saving people he'd helped put in harm's way, so he settled on a lesser truth. Wrong place, real wrong time. Did you see who shot you?
No, he lied. He hadn't even told the police who it was, even though they'd bugged him several times. Rule one on the street, narcs don't live long. Besides, he intended to settle this score on his own. And the last thing he wanted was for Alan and group to be protected by prison walls when he went for them. This was going to be between friends.
Like they say in the movies and shows, it all happens fast.
She fretted over him.
Well, I'm sorry you got shot. It explains why I haven't seen you in school.
His ears perked up at that. She'd been looking for him? Man, for that news, I'd take a bullet any day. It was all he could do not to give her a goofy grin. She leaned closer.
But I'm happy you lived and that you're okay.
Yeah, me too. It would have really cramped my future plans had I died.